So I'd like you to welcome onto the stage now two very eminent Joycean scholars, two very genial Joycean scholars who are going to have a conversation about the film we've just seen. So these are Finn Fordham from Royal Holloway, University of London, and my very good colleague Joe Brooker from the wonderful Birkbeck College. And both of these gentlemen, I should say, also have had experience of running reading groups around Joyce and in particular Finnegan's Wake. So I'm sure that's something they're going to share with you and whilst reflecting on the film. And obviously they'll both be very open to questions from the audience. So Finn and Joe, I'm just going to hand over to you now and I won't be saying anything else.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. How long do we have for this conversation?
How long do you think you could bear?
Just say it wrong. I mean, you've got until the next session is until about... Yeah, you've got a good half an hour to 45 minutes.
Right, okay.
How do you feel?
So one thing is that we should try to be as inclusive as possible, and you know, we want to hear from other people. But I think, can I start on this note? This is the Essay Film Festival. So I found myself thinking, is this an essay film? What is an essay film? There are probably lots of kinds, as there are of kinds of essays. But is this an essay film? Because it seemed to me the most obvious thing to say was that it was a documentary. Do you see a distinction there, Finn?
Well, I would see a distinction if I knew what an essay film was. But I was certainly taking it in that spirit, that it was a kind of documentary, a documentary which was perhaps playing with the documentary form. Mm. I was very aware, sitting in the audience, that I would be a very different kind of audience member, because basically I wanted to leap through the screen and join in, and I was just finding it incredibly frustrating, and I wanted to offer readings, which I couldn't because they were on the other side of the screen. It was like Purple Rose of Cairo. I really needed to step in there and shake them up a bit as well.
But
at the same time, I imagine that there are lots of people here interested in the documentary form and who would be seeing more or less a different film, who wouldn't necessarily want to break through the screen or break through the screen for a different reason. And it's a shame, actually, that we don't have Dora here to talk about these
earlier.
Questions. To talk about these questions of what's the purpose, how does the different genres of documentary operate, and what was her thought of about that? And
It would seem to me intuitively, and I'm sure that the people that run the Essay Film Festival over several years have thoughts about what an essay film would do, but it would seem to me intuitively it might be a film with a thesis, an essay film, a film that is making a case in some way and building up evidence for that case. And if that was what this was, did this have a thesis?
Well, you're asking me, what do you think it had a thesis? Or I mean, okay, I'll try out one, which I think it's the title, The Joycean Society, is interesting because it's a Finnegan's Wake reading group, but it's called The Joycean Society.
Yeah.
So, in a way, the text is an excuse to analyze a kind of institution, a social institution, around that text.
Yeah.
So I think it's inspecting the relationship between texts and institutions, hence the allusions to the Quran.
Mm.
I mean, there wasn't an allusion to the Bible, but there might as well be, because of the way that books create organizations / institutions / social structures, and we're seeing one in little there, very little, a sort of Talmudic hermeneutic circle of people. But in a way,
do you think that? So I suppose the filmmaker is extrapolating, though, this idea of society. You're right. I found myself thinking that this is a reading group, and it's also a foundation. Technically, we're seeing the foundation, aren't we?
Yes.
The Joyce Foundation of Zurich, right? Or in Zurich.
Yes, that's right.
You've been there, haven't you?
I have.
Have you been in that group?
No.
No.
I haven't.
No. But so it could be called the Joycean Foundation or the Finnegan's Wake Reading. So the Joycean Society,
yeah,
as you say, is a title which has a different spin.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's either saying this is almost like a learned society. This is a society, you know, in a sort of technical sense, a grouping of Joyceans, or it could even be a bit more of an excessive meaning of society, taking some kind of idea of society as a whole, or sociality done in a Joycean way. Maybe that was in the intention.
Yeah, I don't know. No. I don't know, but I think if it was the intention, then there would be an interesting moment in the film, which is where the specific nature of this particular society and the text differentiates itself from other organisations that are based in texts. In the sense that it's a non-violent kind of text, and I think that was one of the distinctions that Geert Leunert was making. But it's early days of Finnegan's Wake interpretation.
Right.
He was talking about it as a holy text.
You mean there's several hundred years to go?
Several hundred years to go before there's sectarian fallouts between the followers of the Unt text and the followers of the And text, because there are textual transmissions between different editions. Anyway.
There was a parallel, wasn't there, between his comment about it being a peaceful, it's not dangerous to have many obsessions, and Fritz Sen's comment that it's an addiction which is benign compared to other addictions. There seemed to
be
probably an accidental parallel, but I suppose in both cases they're saying this is like this other thing, religion or addiction, but it's actually safer than those other versions of this thing.
Yeah, don't do drugs, do Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah, that seemed to be a message, or not a message, but it's something that those men seem to want
to
say.
Yeah, it's genuinely one of the messages that I give to my students. Why do drugs when you can do Finnegan's Wake? Yes.
Maybe, you know, I've started off talking about the essay film, the documentary, and the title. Should we ask the audience their thoughts on those questions, do you think? Would that be a good way to go?
And also see if there are other questions.
Yeah. But as a starting point, we could go with that idea.
Absolutely.
Of
what we treat it like question time.
Right.
You could be, what's her name?
I don't want to be her. Yeah.
I
see what you mean.
But can everyone hear, by the way, if I'm not using the microphone? Better to use the mic, sorry.
But I think, can we hear, maybe see what anyone thought about this title, actually, The Joycean Society. I wonder if anyone else had thoughts on that. They'd put their, anyone would like to put their hand up to venture anything?
Does the group call itself The Joycean Society?
No.
No?
No.
What does it call itself?
The Finnegan's Wake Reading Group of the Zurich James Joyce Foundation.
That's right. Yeah,
I guess.
Well, that's why I'm suggesting there's a kind of imposition going on with the title that seems to mean something.
What's the imposition?
Well, it's the fact that the... there you go, sorry.
What's the imposition,
Well, I'm saying, as Finn said, that the group is called what he just said.
I got that.
The title of the film is The Joycean Society. Yeah. So something's going on that the film is adding some kind of meaning or some kind of interpretation in this phrase, the Joycean Society. Somebody here would like to comment. Do you want to take the microphone? Yeah.
I agree. I think it is about a kind of commoning or undercommoning, a kind of collectivity of symptomologies. They have a symptomology in because Freud is, and it's this symptomology, I think, that brings about another symptom, which is epistemophilia. There's a kind of morbid desire to tie down this machine that's producing 69 meanings or whatever it is per word, and at the limits of language, and the effect that this has, because we know from psychoanalysis that the unconscious is structured like a language, and subjectivity, you know, it has a lot to do with how language is structured, and this is pushing that machine to its absolute limit. So it's pushing subjectivities to an absolute limit, and I think, I mean, one of the thoughts that I had is that I wonder whether this, because, you know, they mentioned Freud, but Lacan has written a book on psychosis and Joyce, and the symptom and Joyce, rather than the symptom.
Le symptôme.
The symptom. And I just wondered whether this could trigger psychosis in psychotic structures. I wonder whether this has ever happened, because it's so unravelling.
Could trigger psychosis.
It's so unravelling. Well, just that it's so unravelling of subjectivity because it unravels meaning. Anyway, that's my thought. I think it's a society and the symptomology, shared symptomology, with its therapy.
And are you suggesting that the individuals that we saw sort of had symptoms in
a
way?
Well, they said it. I mean, a few of them actually said that I would be a banker if I didn't have the symptomology, and this allows me to come for my treatment, and it's better than most therapies.
Yeah.
And he talks about sublimation, Freud and sublimation. There's certain things. You know, if you can't express yourself in certain ways, you can come and do it textually, and you can find a collectivity of other people with the same symptoms. Yeah. So I just thought that was very interesting and moving.
I suspect, in a way, thank you for your comments. I suspect one of the things Fritz Zehn, the fellow that said that, was saying was, firstly, that the reading and the business of reading and interpreting is as a sort of sublimation for him and a distraction from, something less desirable, and a pleasure of a kind. But also, as you said, it's a collectivity. It's an excuse to get to meet people and get together with these people. And so that would be the therapy aspect. Might be the therapy aspect. Can I follow up something else you said?
No, okay. The limits of meaning. You could go to a cafe and just meet. It's actually meeting people who have a similar symptomology, who want to work at the limits of meaning. And
yeah. The other thing that there isn't just a quick follow-up to something else that you said about the wake-inducing psychosis, which is, it sounds an outlandish idea, but it, funnily enough, it does remind me of some of the post-structuralist readings of Fenninger's Wake from the 60s and 70s.
And ambiviolence.
Yes, and Colin McCabe's Revolution of the Word, and the idea that Joyce, or even Chris Davis' Revolution in Poetic Language, and the kind of implication that reading sufficiently modernist literature will radically destabilize your subjectivity and change your relation to a reality which would have a political effect, all of which is ambitious, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of the initial attraction for me to the text, in fact, as a whole, that it somehow was complicit with certain statements of post-structuralist ideas. But as I've...
I don't think it's that benign. I don't think it's as benign as they claim.
Who, the post-structuralists?
Well, no.
I think it's much more benign than what they did, actually.
Okay.
As you grow with it, as you...
Let's have one person with that mic at the time.
Just really...
Actually, as you get to know about the text, you find it's actually playing many different kinds of games. It doesn't have to be playing one game. And I was quite struck by what you said. A slight contradiction, if I may say, that you said there was a morbid idea to tie the text down, or tie the machine down.
But then,
just let me finish. But then you also talked about pushing the machine forwards, and that's a very good expression of the dialectical nature of this text, that at points you feel like injecting lots of knowledge and meaning into it doesn't quite do justice to the text, in fact, because you want to explore the fact of being at the edge of meaning. On the other hand, if you go too far in the other direction, the machine stops and it just becomes a white noise of Cora, in the Chris Davin term. And I've just grown more and more and more away from the white noise of Cora and towards a kind of production of meaning which is never about tying down. It's actually about inventing more and more kind of narratives and expressivities. And that's a very positive experience, actually. But it does require a degree of this can mean this, but it can't mean that. And that's the point at which you say, I'm not going to go into a space where it can mean anything, i.e. the space of meaninglessness, because you just turn it into there. And I'm not so keen.
Yeah. So thanks for your thoughts. The microphone's there. Could we go on with that? Oh, you wanted to say something, yeah.
I just wanted to share. I spent a year in Zurich and was paid good money to talk to some people or just chat about Alice in Wonderland. And it was a very similar social thing. and great fun, and helped me put money towards my PhD fund.
And this wasn't
so.
This wasn't in a Joycean context, no.
No,
nothing
no.
to do with this Joyce Foundation.
It could well, it, but no? The thing is, that's from '88. So I wouldn't be surprised if the people I was talking to about Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass, it was actually. But I just wanted to say that for me, you know, the it's very selective. Obviously, the film has selected a particular part of the text and a particular meeting, and the film picks up some people, but not others. There's a really long list of names, so there's all sorts of questions that the film is sort of raising about who's there, who wanted to be in the image, who didn't want to be in the image, how they chose the text, how... there are some quite edgy exchanges at the very beginning where you sense there's a desire to do some language play within the group, but it's not easy to interpret because some people are not native English speakers. So there are all sorts of other interesting things going on. And so it's a pity we can't ask the filmmaker about her decisions, her choices about very close-up filming and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think you're making me think that, yeah, and we can go to that person next. I think you're making me think again about this idea of society, that's the sense in which it's showing a range of social interactions, and that's the sense maybe that this word society is. Did you want to respond to this?
I was just intrigued about spending a year with Alice in Wonderland and how that kind of worked. Was it a class or a course or you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but it's just, I'm just intrigued, actually, because there's a lot of Alice in Wonderland, of course, in Finnegan's Wake, and for it to be happening in Zurich and in 1988, I was just fascinated.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
for the people at the back.
Yeah, you're going to have to
keep it like. Okay, sorry. No, it was just a group of people, Swiss-German speakers, who wanted someone who was a native English speaker to talk about, it was actually specifically Through the Looking Glass. Mm-hmm. And
is that you then?
Namely me.
Okay.
And so I went along, and I had no idea what they wanted from me. Mm. So I got a copy of the annotated copy, which is brilliant. And we just chatted. It was just a social thing. But the way the guy talks about the what comes out through this structure around text, they just, that's what they wanted, and that's what they knew they would get from doing that with their friends and with another person there.
Thank you. Let's get the, yeah, thanks very much. We'll just take the mic up to that other audience member.
I just wanted to give some background information regarding the audience. I was there in 2009 as a scholar, and the majority of the people are not academics. There are people who love Joyce and know very well the German aspect of that you can find the German elements you can find in the book, and they appreciate Joyce's references to Zürich or the William Tell myth. But usually there are some academics visiting, and they can contribute. And so it was interesting. In 2009, they were on page 10, and after quite a few years, in 2012, they were on page 211. So it shows how slowly they work.
That's really fast.
That's very fast. Very, very fast.
That is a disgrace.
You know that's fast.
So we're in a reading group which started in 2008. And we decided to start at the beginning, which is page 474. Not really. And now we're at page 540. That's 11 years. We've done, 75 pages. And honestly, we're going at an average of about 7 lines for 2 hours. Come along. It's intense.
And one more.
Do you want to tell us any more you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Fritz Zehn, who says that he's unsuccessful, he never became a banker, is actually one of the most successful readers of Joyce. Yeah. It is really well known that he's very modest and kind. Yeah. He has written so many essays about Joyce, and he has helped so many scholars develop. So he was being a bit, how can I say, modest.
Let me come back to ask you a question, if I may. About he's got that self-deprecatory sense of humour, hasn't he? You've got the experience of the foundation and so on, and you've, in terms of this film, how do you think the film represents the group? Do you think it's fair? Or sort of reasonable, or because I would suggest there was maybe a satirical element. I don't know if you would agree with that.
Well, it depends on the text, on the extract they are reading, but
I'm saying how do you think it shows the Zurich reading group? How do you think they come across?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there is this, ironic detachment. Basically it is much slower. And some people contribute, some people talk a lot, like Ron Eward. Some others do not contribute a lot, and everyone comes from different backgrounds.
Yeah, I understand that. I was really asking about how you read the tone of the film, that's all.
Maybe she wanted to give this sense, but it's not really like that. It's just this, an approach.
Okay. How is it different how is it different in real life, as it were?
In real life, sometimes things can be slower. Sometimes people can spend hours on a word. Sometimes people may get confused and get tired.
That's why I thought the film wasn't really about how people read Finnegan's Wake, but it was about interactions within fragments of interactions as well, within a very eccentric circle.
Yeah.
And that sometimes there was a slight sprawling on the end of a pin feeling produced, in fact, by the camera work that I found a bit uncomfortable, to be honest.
I think eccentric is a good word. They came across as eccentric.
Of dwelling on people's silence, they're just their faces, not necessarily contributing, with occasional, tweaks of the face, felt a little bit objectifying, but... That's as a Joycean, I'm probably a bit too sensitive to it. But I did wonder. It looks like some people shared that view.
I think what somebody down here wanted to speak. Let's just get the microphone down to you.
I didn't see it as satirizing or objectifying the people. A conspicuous feature of the film was the great age of most of the members. The humour there, they made their own contribution to it, and the note was set by the man talking about testing whether somebody was dead by blowing smoke up the arsehole at the beginning. And there was a strange emotional quality to the film, because there was a feeling, not knowing the people, given their great age, that quite a few of them might have been all meeting each other over so many years through this book. Then it ended with the silence, as if this were some kind of ritual that they would have. So there is an emotional meaning for them in this meeting. So there was a strange mixture of humour, playfulness, a feeling among themselves what we're doing is a kind of nonsense also, and possibly melancholy.
The silence was striking to me. I mean, we've been in various reading groups. I've never known a group that had a moment of silence, a period of silence at the end.
Completely strange.
Yeah.
was that what happened when you were there? No, it was... was very odd.
Yeah. How did anybody else react to the? Was anybody else surprised by the silence at the end of the group? Yes. Who else wants to make a contribution or a comment or a question? One down here. Let's go down here. Can we?
Thank you. I was there in about, I think it was 2001, and the people that were there, they were mostly American then. They had different experts in there on French, German, and Italian. And they used to meet on Tuesdays for Ulysses and Thursdays for Finnegan's Wake, and it was the same crowd. They also used to socialize. They all socialized together. They all met in restaurants, they all went to each other's houses and all that. That's where I was thinking, like, the society bit comes into it. Do you know what I mean? That they were their own society. Yeah. There was no silence at the end of it when I was there, though.
That's because you were there.
Probably contributed, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to say anything, Finn? Yes, let's go back here.
The thing that fascinated me, actually, was that having spent time with your reading group, I noticed that so much of what your group was contributing were very often very specific things about Irish geography, Irish culture, Irish history, and you were all onto that stuff really, really fast. And, of course, I realised that the people in this group clearly didn't have those kind of references. So in a way, it was interesting. I was thinking that they, I think I said to someone in the break, that I was thinking that they might bring loads of stuff from their Italian, French, Germanic culture and languages, because my sense of Joyce is that it's this sort of multi-layered, multilingual, polyglot invented language almost. And in a way, that was actually, you know, surprising to me, having spent time in your group, that you were so kind of, I was just so impressed by the way it was just so much stuff coming about a particular place, a particular bay, a particular, it was, and in a way, at least the impression from the film, in a way, I did get more of a sense of them really being quite baffled by the text, in a way. Whereas I felt that with the time I spent with you just now, was that it was a very joyful encounter with Joyce. It was a very joyful and very positive, and I didn't get that sense of the religiosity in your group.
No.
Whereas I did get a quiet sense, and it's a shame. I'll ask Dora separately. I'll write to her, but I was puzzled by the silence at the end, because it suddenly gave a very formal ending to the film as well, with the ringing of the bells in the background. And suddenly it did seem a little bit heavy, that there was this sense of it being a religious group, in a way. Whereas I think the rest of the film is almost like a sort of an outtake from a much longer Frederick Wiseman. Can you imagine Frederick Wiseman doing the Joycean Society? You know, it would last 15 hours. And it would be, you know, he would be filming with them every day for a period of year after year after year. And in a sense, I'd quite like to see that, if Frederick Wiseman could be encouraged to do that. But this almost seemed like a kind of an outtake from a cinema verite film, you know, in a way. It was like an outtake from it. It was a cut it, which in a way is sort of slightly unsatisfying, because I think you almost like need the duration. Do you see what I'm saying, Finn? It was almost like you'd need a much longer film, at least 2 hours. Like your group was 2 hours, and to be almost like a one take film would be the best.
I completely agree, and actually there's a sort of consecutive accumulatory quality to our reading groups, in which people mount things up and they try one thing and it doesn't work, and people try another one and that doesn't. And that does work. And then suddenly there's a kind of, we've got that. We've built it up together. There is a dialectical process in the reading, and you actually have to allow for a continuum and sequence, continuous sequence, basically. And that was quite fragmentary as it moved between text and society and context, i.e. Joyce's, the beautiful statue of Joyce in the snow. It was just, stunning, but also not really relevant, not really telling us. And it really did jump about actually across bits of text as well. So when Geert Lernout was looking brilliantly, as he does, at Joyce's notebooks and explaining, that was from a completely different part of the text. And that kind of offended my genetic sensibility. And your point about the local knowledge is completely right. And I was amazed that there's a lovely little phrase in the text they were reading, which was a big drum for Billy Dunboyne. Yeah. And it's, hello, Battle of the Boyne, Billy, King Billy, he's banging his drums, this is the Orange Man. Yeah. This is like sectarian fear from a Dublin perspective. And it's like they just missed that completely. And so all of that, you know, there's many layers. The sexual layer was really the one they were interested in, yeah, wasn't it? And the sort of rude, naughty stuff. But there's all of this other stuff, politics and history, as you say.
Mm. Yeah. So just, this will be the last thing I say, sorry. Just to say that, of course, it wouldn't be an essay film if it were a Frederick Wiseman observational documentary. So, I mean, about the what we understand by, we talk about the essayistic in film. Yeah. So by the essayistic, we mean something that's an exploratory investigation of something or an exploratory account of something. And it is very much as you intuited, Finn, it's, we talk about a kind of coming together of the experimental sensibility and the documentary tradition. That's kind of where we situate the essayistic. And so we have a very open, we don't have a definition of the essay film, we have a very open sense of it. Yeah. But I think for me, in a way, this is, Dora obviously is a visual artist, as more than as much as she is a filmmaker who uses film. So I think any sense, I'm not trying to defend her, but I think any sense of does this give a just representation of, you'd need to persuade Frederick Wiseman to come and do that film for you, or someone like that, because it would be the long, the sort of the sense of almost the kind of the ethnographic sense of I am with my subject for a year or 2 years, and I film and I film and I film and I film, and you have this kind of, and that would not be an essay film. That would be a classic observational cinema verite type of documentary. So I'm not trying to be pedantic, but it's just a kind of that's the sense of it to respond to your question about what is an essay film, but also why it's not. Yeah. Frederick Wiseman.
No, but that's extremely useful, actually.
Thank
and
you.
Also, I think it links up to what you were talking about, the old men. This gentleman, in fact, who made the point about the old men and how it was set up, that was part of Dora Garcia's essayistic intention.
Certainly.
To have a proximity to death, and that's why the film ends with silence. And that's quite suitable for the book, even though it's rather solemn. It is a wake, after all, so that was, yeah.
And there are two much younger people who are in the group.
Yes.
Who look silent. With slight bemusement and occasionally amused at what is actually happening.
It's like the silence at the end is an echo of their silence. They're silent throughout, and then everyone finally is silent.
Yeah.
Doesn't Stephen Heath say in Ambi Violas that there's a silence at the heart of the noise of Finnegan's Wake? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. However,
never mind. No.
Oh, I was just listening to some silence then. Oh. I was trying, because Joyce said there's a lot of silence in my work as well. I mean, and you wouldn't think it. You look at it and you think it's just like endless John Cagey noise of Roratorio.
Well, surely, Cage
not
is
the
quite
four minutes
silent.
33, yeah. But the Roratorio work, which is a homage to Finnegan's Wake, and there's this sort of endless stream of multiple layers of noise mixed in together. And that the sort of binary that gets produced of Beckett as a minimalist and Joyce as a maximalist, Beckett being approaching to silence less than zero, etc., and Joyce being all about adding and accumulation, it's not quite right. It's not quite fair. There is often silence in even the noisiest moments.
Let's see if somebody else over there wanted to speak.
There's one point which I found interesting. It's the absence of media, and there was a certain melancholy of keeping up a certain culture of reading that doesn't resort to, I don't know, the swarm intelligence and Wikipedia and all this, because every one of these people is kind of a personal Joycean Wikipedia unto his and her own, almost. And it looked to me as if within this circle, they really try to maintain a certain sense of reading or an ethics of reading, of hermeneutics that sticks to what is there in between the people and maybe in the books around them, but which doesn't go the easy way. I mean, I'm sure that there's a Joycean internet society as well, and which has answers or which kind of has lists of the 70 meanings of each word, but that's not the point. I mean, the point is about producing certain kinds of meaning between themselves in dialogue, coming from certain experiences, and I found that quite striking that it's a model which has been there, I mean, not only since 88, but since centuries probably. So
it's a very important point, and it's right, I think, about the ethics of their reading, which is they're not really a research culture. They're not looking for something new that nobody has said. They're just trying to make sense of it for themselves, and they get to a point and then they move on. So that, for me, that's a bit fast, what they do. Whereas we use internet, we use something called FWEET, which is the Finnegan's Wake Extensible Elucidation Text, which is an extraordinary resource with all of the annotations that anybody's ever put together. And we also use something called the JJDA.ie, which is the James Joyce Digital Archive, which came out on Bloomsday 2018 and is a transcription of all of the avant-texts of the final text. So the draft, the fair copy, the typescript, the galley proof, the revised galley proof. There are 15 or 20 levels for each page of Finnegan's Wake. Mm-hmm. It's all been transcribed. So we're able to do a genetic analysis where you can see how a given sentence grew and changed, etc.
That is being hinted at in the film when Hitler Newt shows you the pages of the notebooks, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're saying, talking about a digitized version of what he is telling us about, in a way.
Yeah, well, Hirt is much more at that end of looking for research and looking for original. He's a kind of philologist who wants to find sources and absolutely.
Maybe one remark coming back to what Michael said. There's a beautiful film by Wiseman called Belfast, Maine, and it's a portrait of this small town in Maine. And one section is a reading group that gathers to read Flaubert's Encore Simple, in this case. And it's very interesting that everyone kind of discusses more like the questions concerning their own life, like how dumb is Félicité, and what about infidelity? Is it good or is it bad? But there's the same seriousness almost, I guess, within the Joycean Society. And it's, of course, it's just a small fragment in this 3-hour long Wiseman film, but it's a nice parallel, I guess.
Yeah, just to echo what you said originally, that it is very analog, that group, isn't it? They're literally sometimes taking big books out. Fritz Sen, at least, is looking, thumbing through books of, I don't know what. There wasn't McHugh. They were using Roland McHugh's annotations, the Glasheen's census, but in book form. And I think I used to see people using books like that a lot more in reading groups than I do now. Is that, do you know what I mean? Mm. Yeah. So there was that. How much of it they had in their heads, as you implied, I don't know. Did you feel that they were walking Wikipedias of James Joyce? one of them was, maybe.
Yeah, Fritz, for sure.
Have we got time for...
I'm getting a signal that we should try and wrap things up.
Okay.
Anybody have a burning last question? Or a moderately warm... last question. A sizzling? You got a sizzler? Okay.
Thank you. Just following on from your comment, actually, I was surprised about the choice of editing in this film. And in some ways, I thought it echoed perhaps an outsider's lost view of the text or loss of the text. So obviously there was some deliberateness. It wasn't just to keep the voice going, because there was that beginning bit with the snow bit, as you mentioned earlier on. So I just wondered if there was something about that, the image copying the text.
Can you expand? I didn't quite... In what way do you think the image is copying the text?
Well, you know, the shaky camera work, you know, the floating things around, you know, trying to search, find a face, a close-up, you know, kind of trying to get into the text.
I think there's a really simple point there, which is it was quite often out of focus. And why that is, I don't know.
Well, I just wonder whether it was the circumstances of the filming, you know, one person holding a camera, or was actually part of the deliberateness of the editing. Certainly could have edited it out, because there wasn't anything substantial being said while all of this camera shaking was going on. So I just wonder if there was an echo of an outsider's view of the text.
I would have liked it to have seen the text a bit more on screen, especially when they actually were reading the text. For anyone who doesn't know it, and we just happen to have read it today, but... you know, it would be quite good to have those lines on screen, and it wouldn't be very difficult to show them. And I think it's a pity it didn't just linger with the text itself a bit more. But do you want to say more in response to what Aki has said?
I quite like the way that there were often voices off, and several of them. That had a slightly Wakean quality, in which you couldn't, they were kind of disembodied, and you'd have to try and guess what their source was. And that's very like reading Finnegan's Wake. Was that the last question, or can we spill over? No? The guillotine shirt okay. is coming. I do want to say just before we end, which is just that we do run this reading group. It is open to everyone. It's not only academics. It is fun, possibly more as much fun, let's say, as theirs. Different though, and you're very welcome to come along. And you can find me, you know my name, Finn Fordham. You can find me on the web, and do come along.
Okay, so thanks very much to Finn and to Joe. Thank you.